You agreed to make payments on the car loan.
Yes, I did.
A daughter on the wrong path.
She got with a knucklehead, lost her job, and that's when the payments were not made.
Pushes a stepfather over the edge.
Did you make any payments on the car?
No.
Did anyone make the payments?
No, ma'am.
Well, who was supposed to pay for it?
I asked him if he could.
Why?
Because he was my co-signer.
So it's his fault?
Yeah, it is.
Judge Judy. You are about to enter the courtroom of Judge Judith Scheindlin. The people are real. The cases are real. The rulings are final. This is Judge Judy. Ellis Fields Jr. is suing his stepdaughter, 22-year-old Danielle Young, for the return of money garnished from his wages after she defaulted on a car loan.
Order, all rise.
Yes, case number 493 on the calendar in the matter of Fields versus Young.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Judge parties have been sworn in. You may be seated. Ma'am, have a seat.
Miss Young, the plaintiff had lived with your mother, according to the complaint, for about 9 years. Is that correct?
Yes, ma'am.
And you lived in the house as well?
Yes.
In 2008, according to Mr. Fields' complaint, he co-signed a 36-month car loan for you.
Yes.
And you agreed to make the payments on the car loan.
Yes, I did.
And the car loan called for what payment per month?
$185.
In what month and year did you purchase the car?
It was May of 2008.
And from May 2008 until May of 2009, did you make those car payments?
Yes, ma'am.
Is that correct, Mr. Fields?
Yes, ma'am.
And from May 2009 until May of 2010, did you make the payments?
No, ma'am.
When did you stop making the payments?
November 2009.
Why?
I lost my job.
Did you start to make the payments, sir, starting November of 2009?
No, ma'am.
Did anyone make the payments starting in November of 2009?
No, what had happened, if I can explain?
Just tell me. Has anyone paid for the car?
No, ma'am.
Go ahead.
She made the payments up till then, and then she got with.
Yes, I understand that. Until November 2009.
And then she got with a knucklehead.
I don't.
Lost her job and everything, and that's when the payments were not made. Then she lost her license, and then she got caught again for driving it, and they impounded the car, and that's where it was until she went back to court. It was in the impound at that time, so I didn't have the money to pay the impound, ma'am.
So
I'm just saying that it got impounded till she went back to court, and at that time she didn't have a job and everything. I mean, everything was falling loose on her, you know.
What are you suing her for?
For the payment of the car, you know. I'm suing her for what she didn't pay on behalf of me co-signing for the car.
You didn't pay.
Excuse me, Your Honor.
But don't speak.
Sorry, ma'am.
Mr. Fields, I just asked you whether you paid for the
car.
No,
ma'am, I didn't.
Well, you swore that you did.
No, I got garnished for it. I was paying on the garnishee from the car situation. See, she got a job back.
Listen to me. Show me your paychecks where your paychecks were garnished for this car payment. That's what I'm asking you. I said, did you pay for the car? You said no. Your complaint says that they garnished your wages for the car, and I want to see where they garnished your wages for the car.
Right here, ma'am.
What is this?
That's a printout from my job. That's every check stub number. This is also something, too, right here.
Listen
from my job.
Listen to me, Mr. Fields.
This is a payroll summary right here, if that's what you need.
I don't need this.
Okay, well,
this is nonsense.
This
I don't
might
need that.
Do you better then.
Sir, I want to see something from the lender indicating that they've garnished your wages.
Okay, this right here, ma'am. I'm a little bit nervous, man.
This is a complaint, sir. This is a complaint. This isn't a judgment.
This might do it. I don't know. I mean, this is all I got here.
I don't know either. This is your business.
Well, that first paper I gave you, man, was a printout from my job. You know, every check stub that was on there. But I understand what you're saying as far as not being the right thing.
That This is the right paper, sir.
Thank you, ma'am.
Why didn't you make these payments?
I was making the payments to him. Like, I would give him $200 out of every paycheck, and I got paid every 2 weeks.
Yeah, so?
But we had a verbal agreement that as long as I was able to live there, then I could pay him because I wasn't paying any other bills.
Why weren't you paying any other bills?
Because I was living at home. Like, I mean, I paid for things that I needed and stuff, but like, as long, I'm talking about like rent and everything, they were taking care of that because it was their house. So I was living there, so I could afford to pay him $200 out of every check that I had. But then once he threw me out in October of 2010, then I couldn't pay him anymore because I was trying to, you know, pay for stuff for me, you know, that I wasn't paying for when
I was with them. Telling me that after your car was impounded, listen carefully.
Okay.
After your car was impounded and you no longer had the car because you were stopped for driving without a license for the second time,
yes,
that you continue to pay him? Is that what you're telling me?
No, ma'am. I'm not talking about, I'm sorry. I'm talking about later on.
I'm asking you whether after you got your car impounded because you were driving without a license for the second time and you lost the car, you continued to pay for it.
No, I didn't.
Well, who was supposed to pay for it? And you were still living home.
I asked him if he could take over the payment because he was my co-signer. So I
asked
him.
What kind of stupidity is that? It's your fault. It was your car.
I understand.
It was your stupidity.
That.
It was your driving without a license. Why should he pay for it? Because he was your co-signer?
Yes.
I'm your co-citizen of America. Why would I pay for your car? It's your car.
Because when we signed the contract, when we signed it, when I got the car, when we signed the contract, he heard the lady say that if for some reason I couldn't make the payment, something happened, he was responsible for making the payment.
Well, let me ask you a question. What happened when you got your car impounded that you couldn't pay for it?
I didn't have a job then. I'd already lost my job.
What were you doing sitting home and doing nothing?
I was looking for a job. But
for how long were you looking for a job before he threw you out?
No, I had a job when he threw me out. I had gotten another job.
Great!
Yeah.
You had gotten another job. Did you make any payments on the car?
No.
There you go. You got a lot.
They had already started garnishing his wages. That's why.
Well, they started garnishing his wages. What do you think that they were taking out from his wages? Pigeon feed? They were taking out money, cash money. So why didn't you pay him? Now that you had a job.
I was paying him as well.
Just a second. You just told me you weren't paying him because they were already garnishing his salary. So why should you pay him?
No, I got,
you're an idiot.
I got my new job. I got my new job in June of 2010. And that was around the time when they started garnishing his wages was May or June of 2010. It took a while for them to start taking money out of his paycheck, and I agreed that I would pay him money when I got paid. I'd pay him $200 out of every paycheck.
Did you?
Yes.
You just told me you didn't. You just told me that after the car was impounded and taken away from you, you didn't make any more payments to him on it. Am I speaking something that you don't understand?
Judge Judy continues in a moment.
Were you supposed to be babysitting for your 10-year-old sister?
No.
Yes.
Is that why they ultimately threw you out? Because you went out someplace else and you're supposed to be babysitting?
And later today.
Mr. Bevan, I don't believe what she's saying to me. I just want you to understand that. That's not a conversation that you have with somebody that you're sleeping with.
Real cases, real people. Judge Judy. Ellis Fields Jr. says his stepdaughter, Danielle Young, defaulted on a car loan, causing his wages to be garnished.
Well, first you told me that you didn't have to pay because he had to pay because he was the co-signer. Then I tried to disabuse you of that fact. Then you said you didn't pay because you didn't have a job. Then you said you didn't pay because by the time you got a job, they were already taking the money out of his check.
They impounded my car like the end of February 2010. And they kept asking for the car, and I kept telling them I don't have the car, it's in the impound. And I asked him if he would just pay the impound fee so I could get it out and give the car back to the finance company so then we would owe less than what they took out of his paychecks. And he wouldn't do that.
It's his fault?
Yeah, so then it is.
And it's his fault because he threw you out because you couldn't stand your behavior anymore. And I assume this is your mother.
No, it wasn't because of my behavior.
I assume this is your mother.
Yes, that's my mother.
Who's sitting there. Yeah.
Yeah.
Were you supposed to be babysitting for your 10-year-old sister?
No.
Yes, ma'am.
Yes. Is that why they ultimately threw you out? Because you went out someplace else and you're supposed to be babysitting?
No, they
threw. That's what he says. You owe $3,800. Judgment for the plaintiff. That's all.
Thank you.
Parties are excused. You may step out.
It's a question of tough love. Yep. I mean, the world's not easy out here.
I wish that my dad would have been a little bit more understanding about what happened.
She's 22 and she's going to see a lot of it.
And not, you know, not try to.
She might as well see it for me rather than learning in the streets.
Do the tough love.
It would be all right. You know, everything would be all right.
Yeah, we'll just go back to talking.
I love her. She knows that. And that's my daughter, you know.
Be able to get back to where we used to be before all this happened.
And everything will fall right back in place.
And now the next case.
All parties in the matter of Malcolm versus Bevin. Step forward, please.
Breanne Malcolm is suing her former live-in boyfriend, Timothy Bevin II, for the money she lent him to pay his student loan and his attorney after he was arrested on a DUI.
Miss Malcolm, you and the defendant were in a relationship, and I gather there was a period of time when you lived together. Is that correct?
Yes, it is.
From when to when?
We moved in together January of 2009, and the relationship ended basically April 2010.
And what were you doing between January of 2009 and April 2010?
We were living together. I was working part-time, and then I was going to school to finish out my master's degree.
You were working part-time doing what?
Working a municipal courthouse. I was the assistant to the court clerk.
How many hours a week did you work?
10 to 15.
So it was really a very limited part-time job.
Correct.
And Mr. Bevin, during that period of time, what were you doing?
I was working at AOK Pawn and Retail as a pawnbroker.
Full-time?
Yes.
And how much were you earning?
Well, it just depends. It was commission-based. Usually, it was $10 an hour plus commission, so.
What do you mean, usually $10 an hour plus
commission? No, it's $10 an hour plus commission.
And you worked there continuously from January of 2009 till April of 2010?
Yes.
Where are you working now?
Same place.
Approximately how much do you earn a week?
It's roughly $2,000 a month.
And you and you were living together, Miss Malcolm, who paid the bills?
We both did. Not only was I working at the courthouse, but the school paid me to work as a graduate teaching assistant. So I was working for WSU, but that money came out of my stipend, which was part of my financial aid.
How much income did you bring into the house to put into your joint checking account a month?
A month. Anywhere from $7 to $1,000 a month.
Let's say $700
That's
a month. And he put in approximately how much?
His paychecks, probably a month, would average to about $1,000, $1,500.
So it would be fair to say that while you were living together, he paid the majority of the bills?
We were splitting the bills down half, but he had probably more of the money, yes.
Okay. This is what your lawsuit is about. You say that he ran short of money and that you paid a couple of his student loans. Out of what account did you pay that?
Out of my own personal account.
In what month and year did you pay?
I have January, February, March, April, May of 2009.
January?
Yes.
February, March, and April of 2009, at a time when you were pooling your money.
Correct. I agree that I helped him pay that. I agree with that. But when he got his DUI in 2009...
Just a second. We're not talking about the DUI yet.
Okay, sorry.
Judge Judy continues in a moment.
We thought we were going to be together forever. And, you know, this is basically an expense that we were going to undertake together.
You've felt taken like your own grave. You see, Mr. Bevin, now we have a problem. You want to know what the problem is?
Real cases, real people. Judge Judy. Breanne Malcolm says former live-in boyfriend Timothy Bevin II owes for the money she lent him to pay his student loan and his attorney after he was arrested on a DUI.
Now, in May of 2009, where did the student loan payment come from?
Out of the joint account, but, Your Honor, when I was going to school, I was getting a student loan payment at the beginning of every semester, so I'd get $6,000 that would go into this account that would help offset the fact that I wasn't working as much. So it wasn't, but that student loan made, that was not my actual, me working.
All right, Ms. Malcolm, you have to understand, courts don't have the time to go into the financial situations of almost marrieds, not quite marrieds, living together, commingling money. I'm just trying to get the scenario here so I can sort of feel whether there was some real basic inequity, which would require my looking to what you now claim were loans, as opposed to what Mr. Bevin says were expenses that were joint expenses. He made more money than you did. He put all of his money in a joint account. You put in whatever money you had in the joint account, and he paid the majority of the bills. What was the rent?
$725.
Well, if you had $700 a month that you got, And you were putting in how much, do you think, towards the rent?
A third, because there was three of us living in the house.
And gas, electric, did you have a car?
Yes.
Did you pay insurance on the car?
Yes.
Did you have a car note?
Yes.
How much is your car note?
My car payments were $425, but I paid that out of my student loan money, because it was that's used for living
you
expenses.
You have a car payment of $425 that came out of a student loan?
Because that money is given to me to pay for my books and my tuition, and then pay for living expenses so I don't have to work. I could go full-time to school. That's what the student loan was for.
What kind of car did you buy for $425 a month?
It was a 2008 Nissan Altima.
And you couldn't get a cheaper car?
I didn't at that time. You're right. There's things I could have done.
Great. So you paid $425 a month for a car. All right. Now, the only thing that I'm actually quite interested in is the lawyer's fee for a DUI that you got, Mr. Bevin. When did you get a DUI?
I don't really remember. I think it was August 2009, maybe 2008, maybe.
2009.
August of 2009.
Right.
Is that right?
Yes.
All right, Ms. Malcolm, you have 3 minutes of my time.
Basically, what happened is when he got the DUI, he didn't have the money to pay for the attorney. I was getting ready to get my student loan payment come August 13th. So what I advised him was, since I was
didn't have money to pay for the attorney,
$1,750.
Yes.
So he didn't have that kind of money to pay for the attorney. So then what happened was, I said, since I'm getting the student loan money and we get it on the 13th, or I get on the 13th, what we can do is, since I've been helping you pay your student loans, you can use this money, we can pay that towards that.
Your Honor,
and then
that,
when
that's,
you can,
that's,
when
Mr.
I
Bevin,
graduate,
I don't believe what you're saying to me. I just want you to understand that.
Okay.
That's not a conversation that you have with somebody that you're sleeping with.
Well, because I knew that I wouldn't have a job when I graduated, and that was how we would come up with the money so that I could be looking for a job and helping pay my student loans at the same time.
Keep going.
I mean, that's really, I mean, it came down, it was a loan that he would agree to help me pay back in 2010. When my student loans would come due, he would help me pay back the difference.
Go ahead.
There was no agreement for me to pay back, you know, the attorney fees. Basically, we were together for, and we thought we were going to be together forever. And, you know, this is basically an expense that we were going to undertake together, because she's probably
You've
felt like she
You've taken your own grave. You see, Mr. Bevin, now you have a problem. You want to know what the problem is?
What's that?
Judge Judy continues in a moment. Have you been cheated? Go to judgejudy.com or call 1-888-800-JUDY.
With regard to the attorney's fees, which was $1,750, what you just said to me was, she paid that money because we anticipated that we were going to be together forever.
Right.
So it was an expense that we were going to share together. Sort of like giving somebody an engagement ring. You know, you give somebody an engagement ring because you plan on being with them forever and plan on getting married. And if it doesn't work out, irrespective of whose fault it is that it doesn't work out, it has always been my view that the engagement ring goes back, because there's no contract. There's no contract because the contract was we were going to get married, be together. We're not going to get married. Therefore, I get the ring back.
I don't know what? I don't know anybody who gets the ring back. So.
Oh, everybody who comes before me gets the ring back.
Well.
I mean, they should line up at the door. That's the contract. And as a matter of fact, there are lots of jurisdictions that now are wise enough to follow that reasoning, that an engagement ring is given in anticipation of a contract to marry. If that contract to marry doesn't take place, the ring goes back. Now, I would ordinarily say bye-bye to Miss Malcolm, because you were all living together and she's pooling the money. Except what you said to me, Mr. Bevin, was, she paid this money in anticipation of the fact that we were going to be together forever and that it would be a joint debt. That didn't happen.
Right. But there was never an agreement for me to pay it back either.
No. Listen to me. There's never an agreement that you give the ring back. If you get down on one knee and hand somebody a ring and say, sweetheart, will you marry me? Nobody ever says, but if it doesn't work out and we don't get married, can I get the ring back? That was never on Love Boat. That was never on any dating game. I never heard anybody say that. That's the implied contract. The implied contract is you get the ring back if the contract doesn't come to fruition. And what you just said to me was, she paid this money in anticipation that we were going to be together forever, for my lawyer, for my DUI, which I assume you got because you were drinking.
Yes.
Did you pay any part of this $1,750?
No, I didn't.
$1,750, judgment for the plaintiff, that's all.
Thank you.
Parties are excused. You may step out.
Judge Judy continues in a moment. And on the next Judge Judy.
All of this is a bitter ex-girlfriend who was just looking to get at me because I'm getting married.
Has nothing to do with that. I heard through mutual friends that they're getting married.
Didn't even decide to sue me until a week after she found out I was getting married.
I hope that they both have a happy marriage and they're happy together forever.
Pay for all my own expenses, apparently, I guess.
Never help anybody pay their bills.